Good afternoon. My name is Abel Faz. I'm a lawyer with Awa Game Solicitors, and today I'd like to speak about employer-nominated scheme visa, or widely known as ENS. Now, this is a summary of our discussion here. Your advice is a qualified legal advice prior to lodging the application. Now, for the purposes of this discussion, I'm going to touch on direct entry stream, as this visa has three streams. Now, there are certain things to be remembered for both employer who is going to sponsor an occupation or person for this visa, and there are certain things to remember for employee who is going to be nominated for this. In general, an employer who is going to sponsor this visa, that employer needs to have a sound business, meaning to say that the business is active and that business is operating in Australia lawfully. The other thing to remember is that that occupation that the person is going to be nominated for, that occupation must be in what is called medium to long-term strategic skills list. And equally important is that the employer needs to show that he has tried or she has tried but has not been able to find a similar qualified worker here in Australia. That's why he or she is looking overseas to find a qualified person. From employee side, of course, there are certain things to remember and take note of. Number one is that if the person at the time of lodgement of application is 45 years of age or beyond, unfortunately, it is not possible to lodge this application. And it is recommended that latest, by age of 44, the application must be lodged. Now, there are other requirements, including the English result requirement, which means that the person who is going to apply for this visa, if, for instance, the person is taking IELTS test, he or she needs to earn band 6 in all four components. And also, the person must have positive skills assessment. Now, by positive skills assessment, it means that the qualification you earned overseas need to be assessed in Australia and see whether that is recognized and at what level, and whether it fits the criteria for that particular occupation in mind that you have applied for. Other requirements, including character and health requirements that the applicant needs to meet. And, of course, there is a threshold salary for the particular employee, which at the moment is $53,900. So you cannot be paid below this amount at the moment. If an employer is paying less or is going to pay less than the threshold, then the visa gets refused. So the employer has to pay the same amount of salary that is paid to a similar Australian worker, and so that's something to be to note of. Once the visa, once the application is submitted, and if there is any information needed, so the Department of Home Affairs would communicate and will let us know. Number one, they would confirm that they have received, and if they need information, they would communicate. Once the visa is approved, it is usually valid for up to 5 years. The person can go in and out of Australia based on government regulations at a particular time. And then if it is past 5 years and the person who has been granted this visa is going to go overseas, then the person has to apply for what is called return resident visa. This is because if the visa is expiring past 5 years and the person hasn't obtained that return resident visa, then the person cannot come back to Australia. So these are the important things, and I hope this brief discussion has shed some light on the requirements to be met both by employer and employee. And as I said in the beginning of the discussion, this is just a summary. So feel free to contact us if you need more information in this regard. Thank you very much for watching this video, and I hope to hear from you soon. And have a good day. Cheers. Bye.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining today. My name is Lauren Joe, and I'm the owner of Lauren Joe Law, an immigration law firm located in New York City. I specialize in business immigration as well as family immigration for anyone around the world who wants to come to the US. And today I wanted to focus on the E3 specialty occupation visa that's specifically for Australian citizens to come to the US to work in a specialty occupation. So there's a few different criteria that need to be met in order to obtain the E3 specialty occupation visa. So what is a specialty occupation? The government defines a specialty occupation as typically a professional occupation, such as an engineer or one that requires at minimum a bachelor's degree or equivalent in a specific field. So for example, an engineer, if you have a bachelor's degree or equivalent work experience, meaning 12 years of work experience to equate to 4 years of a bachelor's degree in the engineering field, then you may qualify for the specialty occupation visa. Secondly, you have to meet the prevailing wage for the occupation in the geographic area in that position for that wage level. So the prevailing wage is set by the U.S. Department of Labor for each geographic area and occupation and wage level. So if you are entry level, just coming out of college, you just got your bachelor's degree in engineering and you want to work in New York City, you would look up in the New York City wage library what a level one wage is for an engineering role. And the US employer must pay you equal to or above the prevailing wage. And to do this and document this, they must go through the labor condition application process where they post a notice at the workplace, letting everyone know that they're hiring an E3 specialty occupation worker in XYZ position, and they will be paying them at least this salary. And then they will file an application with the US Department of Labor online. And once that is certified, that can be used in the E3 visa application. And thirdly, of course, this is just for Australian citizens. So you have to prove that you're an Australian citizen, which is done just through your Australian passport that you would present in the application at the time of application, either with the consulate or with USCIS, the US Citizenship and Immigration Services. So with that being said, there are two different ways to apply for this visa type. The first one being at a US consulate or embassy abroad. So if you're presently in Australia and you have a US employer offering you a position, so you do have to have a US employer petition you for this role. You can't self-employ or just come to the US to find a job first. You have to have the employer petition for you. So if you're in Australia and want to apply at a US embassy or consulate, you would have to schedule an appointment through the embassy website and complete an application known as the DS-160 non-immigrant visa application. It's a pretty long online form asking you a lot of biographical questions about work history, education history, immigration questions, security questions. And once you get through that application and schedule the appointment, the rest of the application includes that labor condition application that I discussed earlier that was filed with the Department of Labor. Once you have that certified, as well as a support letter from the employer explaining the position that they want to hire you for, why it's a specialty occupation, how you qualify for that specialty occupation. So proving that you do have the educational requirement for that role. So for example, if it is an engineering position, that you do have an engineering degree or the equivalent work experience. You would include copies of your diploma or any work experience, employment verification letters from past employers in the application packet, and information about the company. And you would present all this information to the US consulate or embassy at the time of your appointment. And a consular officer would review the application and approve or deny it. If you are approved, then they would hold your passport and stamp a visa stamp in your passport that would be valid for up to 2 years at a time. So the E3 visa category, you can get 2 years at a time and you can renew it technically indefinitely, although it is a non-immigrant visa, meaning it's not permanent, it's not a green card, it's not permanent residence, but you can continue to apply for extensions indefinitely as long as you still qualify. The other manner of filing for this visa category is through USCIS, the US Citizenship and Immigration Services in the US. And you would typically only do this if you are already in the US and don't wanna either travel back to Australia or another country to apply for your visa stamp. You don't have any plans to travel, or right now in the past year or two with COVID, sometimes it's really hard to get an appointment at a US consulate abroad. So if you wanted to extend your E3 status in the US, you would file a form I-129 with USCIS with that labor condition application and all those supporting documents. And you can now file this with premium processing, which is an additional government filing fee with the application. It's a $2,500 filing fee, but you get a guaranteed response from USCIS within 15 calendar days of filing the application. So that is one benefit if your company or you are willing to pay for a speedy response. You may have an approval within 15 calendar days of applying. If you don't file with premium processing, it may be several months until you hear a response. If you do file in this way, the next time you travel after you receive your E3 approval from USCIS, you will still need to get that visa stamp at a US consulate outside the US in order to return to the US, because the visa is a travel document that lets you enter the US in E3 status. So I hope this answers any questions that you had about the E3 Australian specialty occupation visa. Feel free to visit my website, www.laurenjolaw.com, to learn more about E3 visas and other US business visas, and hope to hear from you soon.